All right. Hey, let's keep it going here. Speaking of the Ravens and the Dolphins coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock, we go to Dwayne Starks, former defensive back, first-round pick with the Ravens, and, of course, also with the Hurricanes, where he had a great career and now working here with QAM in the post-game show for those Miami Hurricane games, although he has to work with Hollywood. How are you this morning, Dwayne? How's it going?
Man, I am great. I am great.
Hey,
how
man.
Are you?
I'm doing great, Dwayne. Thank you. Hey, Dwayne, got to ask you, going through that 6-6 hurricane season, I know it's disappointing for everybody. What was it like for you to have to watch it up close and then talk about it after every one of those games, especially the way they finished?
It was a disaster.
Yeah, I got you.
Honestly, I mean, you know, being a flagship station, that's one thing, you know, but being able to tell it how it is another. You know, I think they had a pretty mediocre season. I think they got a lot of great talent. I mean, they let some games slip away. I think, honestly, I think they got out-coached, in a lot of those games, especially along towards the end and how they finished up. To look at the scheme that they was running, you know, the disadvantages that they've given up, you know, based on not being able to adjust. And, I mean, it was heartbreaking to watch it, you know, but I had to report it, so I had to try to shed as much light as possible, and it was pretty difficult.
Yeah. Hey, Dwayne, what's your biggest frustration with that team? I was going to talk to you about, and we will talk about Ray, but what's your biggest frustration as you watch these games up close with the Hurricanes? What would it be?
The guy's not in the best situation to help them. Not seeing the adjustments. You know, the players are pretty good. You know, I like the talent that was on the field. It's not that guys were getting beat. You know, they were not getting beat. Like, you'll see a guy get beat for a touchdown every week, throwing a deep ball on one particular guy. That wasn't the case with the University of Miami. The case was they could not stop certain plays. And that shows that you're not making an adjustment. So the difference, and I hate to bring up his name, but I've seen the way I've seen Florida State coach their team is what I like to see for the University of Miami, because you can see, okay, their talent is just as average as anyone else. You know, they have a pretty good quarterback that make good decisions. They have some pretty good running. You know, same thing that the University of Miami has. And their defensive backs is worse than our defensive backs. Our defensive backs is a lot better than Florida State's. But you'll see in the beginning of the game, you see that they have been down early in the games. But by halftime,
yeah,
you see all the adjustments that were made.
I can't disagree with that. You hit it. Yeah, in that game, I can't disagree.
You see all of the adjustments that are being made. And I'm talking about throughout the whole season. I'm talking about throughout Florida State's whole season. If they didn't blow someone out, which they didn't do it this year, unless it was the end of the game that made the game look further away than what it was, you saw a team competing with them or ahead of them. Now, after halftime, where you see the coaches go in and say, hey, this is what they're doing, these are the adjustments we need to make, let's execute now. And the game turned around every time for them. They're still undefeated.
Yeah.
Why can't the University of Miami see the same things, or do they want to see it? It makes me question that, because I'm sitting on the sideline or in the press box, and I'm thinking, well, why are we still allowing them to move in motion and create a mismatch or create an unbalance against our defense? Like, when are we going to make those adjustments?
Yeah. It's funny. The way they finished, they just look like, after they lost that Florida State game, they just the motivation and everything just seemed to be gone. And that falls back on the coach too, right? Not having guys ready to go and motivated and, hey, guys, we're going to finish strong. Let's forget about that FSU game. I know we let one get away, but let's go out and kick some butt these last two games.
You know what? I'm not going to 100% agree on guys coming out playing flat. Yeah, they may have felt, as though that was their Super Bowl or national championship game against
right.
Florida State, and they came short, especially after being up 16 points and allowing them to come back. So it is draining. But problem was the guys not being in the right position or right to help them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I saw the whole year. I mean, you can't look at one guy on that defense and say, oh, this guy is horrible. You can't even do it.
I always wondered, Dwayne, because you saw it up close. This last Canes question I'll ask you, and I'll move on to Baltimore. But I thought their defensive backs were really good this year. I thought their cover corners, you see them a lot more and know more than I do about that. But I thought they're pretty good. Like, hey, I'll take my chances and lock onto a guy with those guys and free up some guys to maybe help in the run. Did you feel that way?
I felt that way the whole year, and if you listen to me on the post game, I was always screaming, hey, bring those guys down in the box and force them to throw the ball. We didn't force anyone to throw the ball this year.
Yeah, no.
The University of Miami did not force anyone to throw the ball this year, and that was, some weeks, and it was obvious, when we played someone that we knew we can win, we knew that we can beat them, which was a lot of those teams that basically the six games that we actually won. We opened up the playbook, did whatever it was, because we wasn't afraid to get behind, and that wasn't going to be the case. But when we played someone that was pretty much equal talent, you saw the playbook change. The Florida State, it was open in the first half. It was, you know how that was. It was just open. Every play was being called. They was hitting every aspect of the field and trying to get the ball to everyone on the field.
Yeah.
Second half, I think they say, hey, we're up. Let's try to eat this clock and allow this team, get these first steps. It just didn't work out. And they threw the ball deep maybe once or twice in the second half, if I'm not mistaken, which we were playing against a horrible defensive backfield, should have been doing it a lot more than they actually did. You know, some of those things kind of, I don't know who's listening to who and who's calling the actual play and, what the scheme is, but it didn't work for the last couple of games, and it didn't work early in the season against teams that we were supposed to battle against.
All right, Dwayne, real quickly here, because I chewed up a lot of your time on the Canes, which I can tell you get fired up about. I want to ask you about your former other team, the Ravens. They come in at 7-5. Tell me about their secondary. Everybody said it's been the weakness of their team. You watched them up close. What's your take on the Ravens' defensive secondary?
I think they have some talent, but I don't think they're making the plays right now. I really can't say what the problem is, but they really have to step their game up if they want to be the type of defense that is going to take them to the next level or take them to the playoffs and beyond, Other than that, man, they're not Dwayne Starks and Chris McAllister. that's a real tandem, man.
Those were the days, weren't they? Hey, that was like locked down on the outside and let's go get them in the front, man. I got you on that. Hey, who do you like in this game coming up, Ravens and Dolphins? You expect it'll be a tight ball game?
Yeah, I expect it to be a battle, man. Both teams are playing well defensively and basically trying to win. They pretty much end up with about the same record right now. If Dolphins 7-5, correct?
Yeah, no, both teams 7-5.
Yeah, both teams 7-5. I mean, they pretty much got the same type of team. And as you can see, last year it was a battle. And, Baltimore ended up coming up with the win. But we'll see how it turns out. I mean, I'm interested, but these are my two favorite teams, and that's the sad part about it. I love Baltimore because I played for them, and that's my history, and Baltimore won a Super Bowl there. And Miami is the home team, and I want to root for Miami so bad, against any other team. Like, if the Dolphins play someone else, I'm rooting for the Dolphins. But if they're playing Baltimore, I'm like on the fence, like, I can't go against my home team. I can't go against the Baltimore Ravens either, so. It's going to be interesting. I'll watch that game closely.
Hey, Dwayne, real quickly before I let you go, I want to get your take on Joe Flacco. He's an interesting guy. He's getting paid a lot of money. Man, you talk about a perfect time to get a new contract after you win a Super Bowl, but never gets talked about with those top dogs, those guys of Brady and Manning and that whole group, Aaron Rodgers. Where do you rank him? And tell me something about the guy after knowing him.
Well, I don't know Flacco. I never played with Flacco, so I really didn't have. I don't have a strong comment on that one.
Yeah, I would just
You know, with the fact that he, you know, had a great contract. He's not in the same ballpark right now as those other guys. You know, those other guys have accomplished so much more than just winning the Super Bowl. You know, I'm not rather they won a Super Bowl or not, but they still have more history on what they've done. You know, with their actual team. I think Flacco had a lot of help in Ray Rice and, you know, some other players. And then Ray Lewis was basically the talk of Baltimore. He is Mr. Baltimore. So he was overshadowed. So he has to stand up now to make a name for himself now that Ray is gone, now that he's that leader of the team.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good way to do it. I can't even imagine what it was like for you to play with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and being part of that Canes family. That had to be unbelievable for you, man.
Yeah, at the University of Miami, you know, me and Ray played together. Ed came in my senior year, and I said, hey, this kid's going to be special, man. And then I didn't get a chance to play with him in Baltimore. That's the year I left and went to Arizona, and he came in the year I actually left. So that would have been a great tandem.
Oh, man.
You know, but imagine him in the back, and you know, just like Rod Woodson, it never fell off in the safety spot, man. Ed Reed added something to it, man. He was able to return some interceptions. He was able to play at a high level. And just imagine if we were all back there together, it would have been.
My ass is getting old. You know, as I get older, I just have you guys all boxed together playing together, Dwayne. God, you know what, Dwayne? You're starting to get old, my man. Damn, you're getting old.
Man, I am 40 now, man.
Well, you know what? You're not in that other club, man. That 50 plus club that I'm in. So you're in good shape, Dwayne.
I got a decade for that one.
Dwayne, take care of yourself. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
All right, thanks, man. All right. Hey, the next time I catch you at the game, I'm gonna keep crashing into that door. You know, when Miami is playing.
Dwayne, you do whatever you need to. That's good stuff, man. Thank you.
All right, man. You take it easy.
All right, Dwayne Starks joining us this morning.